Well, in Psalm 142, we read these words. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me.
What would you do if you were stuck on a desert island? Our culture seems to be obsessed with the whole idea of being stuck on a desert island. There's been movies written about it. There's been books written about it. Just to name a couple, we've got Robinson Crusoe, Swiss Family Robinson, Life of Pi, Lost, Castaway, Gilligan's Island, Lord of the Flies. So as you can see, that whole plot line is quite popular. But what is it about that storyline that intrigues us so much, that makes us want to watch movies and read books about it? Is it learning how to take care of yourself, learning how to find food, surviving all the things that are coming against you on the island? Maybe that's the weather or other animals or other people. Regardless of how exciting books and movies make the idea seem, actually being in that situation would be terrible. You wouldn't know when you were going to get off the island. You wouldn't know when your next meal's going to come from. The constant struggle of fighting for your life. And the isolation, whether you're the only one on the island or you've got others with you, it's that isolation. That feeling of isolation. There's often that scene in the movie or the book where the person or people stuck on the island just lose it. They've stayed strong for a long time, but now they just can't cope anymore. Often something along the lines of, I'm never gonna get us off this island. I'm gonna be here forever. I'm stuck here. It's that moment where they can't hold back their emotions anymore. They just have to let out how they're feeling. An individual lament is a little bit similar. It's that expressing your emotions. Psalm 142, that psalm that Amy just read out for us, is an individual lament. So it's quite similar to the communal lament, the one that Andrew was talking about last week. But obviously it focuses on the one person and God. Often it talks about the psalmist, the person who wrote the psalms, bad situation, the situation they're in. Sometimes they talk about how they're finding it really hard because God has been slow in answering. And it often ends in a declaration of praise, saying that they trust God no matter what happens. Psalm 142 is written by a person who is obviously going through a really rough time. It's unsure as if David himself wrote the psalm, but the person who did, it seems like they were thinking about David, particularly that time when he was running from Saul and hiding in a cave. But regardless of who wrote it, the person is going through a really horrible time. They're in an awful situation. They're in distress. But in this time, they cry out to God. So, tell me what's going on. Have you ever had someone ask you that question? Maybe it's a concerned friend who can see that you're feeling a bit down. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist is crying out to the Lord. The words he uses shows that he's in distress, he's suffering, he's in pain. He's lamenting about the things in his life that are causing him trouble. And what is his response? He cries out to God. There is power in using words, power in the way you express how you feel, and power in the way that the psalmist is turning to God. He has a relationship with God. He's crying out to him. He doesn't hold back. Whatever he's feeling, whatever emotions he's feeling, he shares. He's not trying to mask his feelings, act like everything's okay. He's wearing his heart on his sleeve, showing God how he's truly feeling. And the way he's being vulnerable is powerful. Because God cares. He cares about what the psalmist had to say. He cares about what we have to say, whether it's good, bad, or plain ugly. And the fact that the psalmist is crying out to God in this time shows that he trusts him. When things go bad, the Lord is the one he turns to for help. Is God who we turn to when we need help? The one that we share our sorrows with? Because God cares. He wants to know how we feel, wants to know what's troubling us. And there's power in what we say, power in our words. We're showing that we trust God, that we know that he's the one that cares for us. And by speaking to God, we're strengthening our relationship with him. What happens when we go through something? What happens when a family member gets sick? We lose a job, go through a breakup, have a fallout with a friend? Do we turn to God and cry out to him? Or do we blame him, be petty, grumble to anyone who will listen? There are so many things in this world that we can complain about, and I think I'm pretty good at complaining about a lot of them. This world is broken. There's so many things that can cause us pain and hurt us, and so many things that make us feel alone. Alone. That word, it's scary. Distressing. Makes you anxious. No one likes feeling alone. Even introverts who do enjoy being by themselves in a room don't like being alone, feeling alone in life. In verses 3 and 4, we can see that the psalmist is feeling alone. In verse 4, he's saying that there's no one beside him, no one at his right hand, no one who cares about him. Picture a house in the middle of nowhere, kilometres and kilometres away from any other house or road or building. That's the psalmist, kilometres and kilometres away from any other person. Oh, and the situation gets worse. The people he does talk about in the psalm, they're against him. Whatever the psalmist is doing, he's experiencing opposition. There are people out there who are actively trying to make his life miserable. They're setting snares for him. Snares are hunting devices that are used to capture rabbits or birds by entangling them. And so when the psalmist is saying that people are setting snares for him, he's saying that there are people out there who are trying to tangle him up, trying to get him all tangled. That's a very intentional action. People are trying to cause him trouble. I don't think you can feel more alone than when people are actively going out of their way to make your life miserable. It's like that bully that spends hours and hours coming up with new ways to trick and torment you. What an awful situation to be in. Do you feel alone? Do you feel like you have no support or no one that cares for you? If you do feel that way, then I'm so sorry to hear that. I really encourage you to reach out to someone in this time, and I know that the staff at CBC are always willing to listen if you wanted to give them a call. But maybe you do have some friends, a good support system, which is fantastic. But have you ever had an issue, a secret, a mistake you've made, something traumatic that's happened to you in the past that you feel like you can't tell anyone about? Because if you did, they'd stop being your friend, act weird around you, and maybe if it was really bad, they'd turn against you. Because that makes you feel alone. You can have many friends, but you can still feel isolated. But are we ever truly alone? There is a safe place. There is a refuge. The psalmist places amazing trust in God. Verse 5 shows that he knows that God is his refuge. God is his shelter in times of trouble. When his life is falling apart around him, the psalmist knows that the Lord is his safe place. It's like that moment when you're getting home in the middle of a thunderstorm and you know that you have to get inside quick before you and everything you're carrying gets soaked. But once you're inside your house, you know that you're going to stay safe and dry and warm. It's your refuge in the storm. The Lord is the psalmist's refuge in the storm, his safe place. When he feels alone, when people are fighting against him, the Lord is the person he can go to feel safe. The psalmist also says that God is his portion. This word was often used to describe food or possessions or land. But by saying that God is his portion, the psalmist is saying that God is what he needs in this time, more than anything else. Instead of binge eating, binge drinking, distracting himself with meaningless things, the psalmist is turning to God in this time, trusting that God is the one who can give him what he needs. When we are in a terrible situation, do we turn to God? Do we trust that he is our refuge and portion? What we need in this time? I'll be honest here, I am not the best at seeing God as my portion in bad times. I'm much more likely, when I'm having a hard time, to try and distract myself, whether that be by other people, food, TV. But one of my closest friends is really incredible at this. When they're having a rough time, they go to God, spend extra time with him. And they've inspired me to do the same. And I've learned a valuable lesson in this. Anything binge-related or distracting yourself, it only delays the pain. But turning to God, spending extra time with him, is what heals and provides peace. So do you believe that only God can help in times of need? That he is your refuge? Because people can let us down, but God is always there. And what is our response to this? We need to praise him. The psalmist is in a metaphorical prison. He's saying that he feels so trapped by his situation, the people against him, the feelings of isolation and despair, that it's almost as if he was in prison. But when God frees him, he will praise God. He's already said that he knows the Lord is his refuge and portion. He's placed his trust in God. But when God sets him free, he will continue to praise God, because what God has done for him is something that demands and deserves praise. Have you ever had someone do something so nice for you that you just had to say thank you? Not because it was the polite thing to do, but because it actually made your day. This happened to me last week. I had a lovely care package dropped up to my house by a lovely person from our church. And I just had to tell that person thank you because it really just made my day. It made me smile. When he is rescued, the psalmist knows that he will have to praise God for what God has done in his life. And he'll share this with others. It will be an encouragement to the community, the other righteous people, the other people who believe in God. Together, they can praise God for what he's done in their lives, for the ways that God is able to rescue people. Praise him because he cares. Praise him because he loves his people and saves his people. God demands and deserves praise, and not just from us. We need to share the things that are happening in our life so that other people can be encouraged and praise God too. Maybe you feel like there's not too much to praise God for in your life right now. I would encourage you to find small things, even if it's the sunny day we had yesterday, the food that you have on your table today. Find the small things and praise God for those. But maybe you know someone who's has something in their life that they can praise God for, whether it's big or small, an answered prayer. Praise God. That's the God you serve as well. He's doing things in the lives of people. He loves us. He cares for us. That's worthy of praise. Maybe you yourself have something you can praise God for. Share that with other people. Share it so that we can all be encouraged by it and praise God. Psalm 142 teaches us a lot of things about the ways we can talk to God and share with him how we're feeling. We can voice how we feel, whether that's good or bad, and God will listen. Sometimes we might feel like the world is against us, but God is our safe place and what we need. And he will save, which deserves praise. If we're feeling alone, cry out to God. He hears us, he rescues us, so praise him. Maybe sometimes we feel like we have to pretend like we're okay in front of God. It's almost like when someone asks you how you are and you respond with, good, how about you? No matter how you're actually feeling. Do we feel like we have to pretend that we're okay all the time with God? Or maybe you did cry out to him, but you didn't get the answer you wanted or when you wanted, and so you kind of just stopped asking. The psalmist sits in this place of despair and of isolation for a little while. He cries out to God multiple times in the psalm. And the end of the psalm, the psalmist is hoping for a time when he's out of this bad place. But he's not out of it yet. And I think that time of waiting is the worst part. Because it could be a short time of waiting, a short time of being in a bad place, or it might be a long time. But notice what the psalm shows us. It's okay to sit in that waiting period. It's okay to cry out to God again and again. It's okay to lament. But continue crying out to God. Continue asking for help. Continue trusting. Continue believing that God is your safe place and your portion, what you need. And whether it's a day, a week, a month, a year, several years, maybe even your whole life, it matters if your eyes are fixed on God. Because are we getting so wrapped up in our situation that we're forgetting to focus on God? Or are our eyes fixed on God in this time, trusting that we will get through and that He will be with us every step of the way? Telling people what's happening in your life, that strengthens your relationship with them. And telling God what's happening strengthens your relationship with Him. Whenever you have a moment where you feel isolated, alone, hopeless, tell God. That could be through prayer or journaling. Maybe you're a bit creative, so you might write a song, choreograph a dance, paint a picture. But sharing what's on our hearts with God will not always be easy to do. Nor is it a one-off thing. It's going to be something that we're going to have to work on day by day, week by week, year by year. But if we start with the small things in our lives that annoy us or frustrate us and trust God in those times, then when we get to the hard times in our life, the times when we truly feel alone or in despair, then it's going to be a lot easier to trust God because we've already trusted Him with the small things. So this week, whenever something little annoys you, share that with God. Say, God, I don't feel this great this morning. I didn't sleep well. God, that person at school or work is really ticking me off right now. God, my car broke down. Now I'm late for work. That is so frustrating. But then end it with, but I trust you. Maybe right now it's not so great, but I'm not alone. You're here beside me. I'm safe and protected by you. I'll say that again. God, right now, it's not great. I don't feel great. But I'm not alone. You're here beside me. I am safe and protected by you. And that's one little way that we can share how we're feeling with God. Trust in Him. Praise Him, grow closer to Him. I'll finish in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are with us in the times where we feel alone or hopeless or in despair. You don't leave us. You're with us every step of the way. You're our refuge, our safe place, and what we need. Help us to learn how to turn to you in these times, to talk to you. Help us to trust you. And help us to praise you as well, when we're in the situation and when we're out of the situation. Help us this week to bring the little things to you. Help us to praise you and grow closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.